The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
John 3:16. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Read it with me if you would. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. Get those committed to memory. Things come, things happen. Maybe I need to be reminded that God loves me. And this thing, it doesn't change that. God loves me as an individual person because God loves every individual person. God gave us the greatest gift that could ever be given, didn't he? He gave his only begotten Son, that any old whosoever, like me and you, that believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. What kind of life? Everlasting life. Praise God. Now I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to get right into the heart of the matter. Matthew's gospel account of the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1, we're going to begin reading verse 18. We're going to read through the 24th verse, if you're taking notes, right? Matthew 1, 18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to put her away or divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Sometimes God will use dreams to speak to you. He said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. That's important. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. We know it as Jesus. How many know that that is the Greek version of his actual name, which is the Hebrew word Yeshua? And it means the Lord saves. I said last week, I want to repeat this because someone might need to hear it just as much as last week, that if you're ever being hammered on and you start feeling like, you know what, I don't know if God loved me. If I was God, I wouldn't love me. I want to say this to you. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:7 that if we don't love, we don't know God because God is love. God is love. Will you say that out loud with me? God is love. So for God to not love someone, wouldn't he have to stop being love? In other words, he'd have to change who he is just because of that one individual. How many of you are jumping my boat and go, that's not going to happen? It's just not going to happen. God is not going to quit being God, and God's not going to quit being love. He's always been love. He's always will be love. And you're good, you're bad, you're ugly, even if you're Clint Eastwood. It's not going to change the fact that God is love, and God's going to remain love. And if he is love, he loves. And that doesn't change. You say, preacher, does that mean that everybody goes to heaven? No. Jesus was very clear that there's a broad way that leads to destruction, and many people go there. And there's a narrow and a straight way that leads to salvation, and few be that find it in comparison. It's not that just a few people will be saved. There's going to be multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people who are going to make heaven their eternal home because of the grace of Jesus. But there are going to be more that don't. And it's not because God sends them there. It's because they willfully reject the gift. If someone wants to give you a gift, but your heart is not inclined to receive it, how many of you know they cannot make you receive it? But he'll do everything in his power to persuade you to just give him a chance. Maybe there's someone listening to me today and he's saying, you know what, God has disappointed me. I don't even know if there is a God because this happened and that happened. I was praying about it and that happened. How many know there can be some very, very heartbreaking situations that can happen to us in life? Our faith can be stretched out there and things not go the way we think they will go. And there are times where people hit that brick wall and they just decide, you know what, if there even is a God, he must not love me. But right now, all over the world, everywhere you look, you see decorations like what we have in here. And they remind us of something that can't be undone. Jesus stepped into history and split literally time in half. Even people that don't want to acknowledge Jesus, what year is this? We were in some years that were called B.C. How many of you know that, what that means? That means before Christ. And A.D., Latin, means year of our Lord. He's literally split time in half. And he changed the world forever in a little bitty town in an obscure place, Bethlehem. You know what the name Bethlehem means in Hebrew? It means house of bread. Jesus claimed in the Gospels to be the bread of life. Born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Hallelujah. Jesus' birth came about in a miraculous fashion. His mother was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and what was conceived in her was not born of an earthly father. You are to give him the name Jesus, verse 21 says, because he will save his people from their sins. Look at verse 22. If I lost you, if I want you to put your eyes on it in your own Bible, maybe. All this, every detail about Jesus' birth, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah lived and prophesied approximately 750 years before Jesus was born. God's Holy Spirit came upon that man, a human being just like you and I, and he was moved to the Holy Spirit to speak words that would take 750 years to be fulfilled. In other words, God promised something, and how many of you know this? When God promises, God delivers. Christmas is the absolute in-your-face proof that Christianity is different from everything else. Because God makes promises that sometimes take hundreds or even thousands of years to come to pass. But the prophecies of Scripture are so detailed that when they come to pass, it's absolutely undeniable. But you go into the grocery store, especially back in the day, and you'd see all the National Enquirer and the Sun and whatever. You'd see all these fake newspapers. They were the fake news before the fake news. And they'd have all the predictions of the year, and every year they'd be like, Elvis is coming back, you know, whatever. And a lot of people's favorite predictor, he's a Frenchman that lived a long time ago. His name is Nostradamus. He's not a prophet of God by any stretch of the imagination. The people that follow his stuff say about 75% of everything he predicted come true. I'm going to tell you why. Because his prophecies are so stinking vague that you can literally attach almost any world event or local event at any point in time in history and say, oh, Nostradamus prophesied that. But when God prophesies something, he says, behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a child. That's pretty specific. God's prophecies are very specific, very specific. And so everything about Jesus' birth was done in fulfillment of God's prophecy in Isaiah. Look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, and he had no union with her. They were not intimate until she gave birth to Jesus, the son, and he gave him the name Jesus, just like he was commanded. I want to focus in on something here. Isaiah prophesied about the birth of Jesus, the virgin birth of Jesus. Someone might ask, well, is Isaiah's prophecy the first prophecy about a virgin birth? Well, in my opinion, no. Because I want to go all the way back. In Genesis 3:15, the scenario is Adam and Eve were in the garden. We all know about how they sinned. We're still paying for it. Even though Jesus redeemed us, you know, there's still effects in our world we live in. But they had sinned against God, and God showed up, and he said, hey, Adam, what have you done? You know, Adam said, hey, that woman you gave me. I don't know if he's blaming her or God or both, but he said, that woman you gave me. She gave it to me and I ate. And he looks at a woman. He said, what's going on? She said, the serpent deceived me, so I ate. God turned to the serpent then and he said these words. He said, I'll put enmity, which literally means war. There's never, ever going to be any compromise or agreement between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world or darkness. He said, I'll put war, enmity, hatred, continual separation between you and the woman. Everybody say, the woman. What was her name? I told you a while ago. What was her name? Eve. How many of y'all knew that? How many think God's smarter than you? Does God know her name? Why doesn't he say, I'll put enmity between you, Satan, and Eve? Answer, he's not talking about Eve. If he was talking about Eve, he would have said Eve. He said, I will put enmity between thee, woman. There's going to be a woman that God's going to use. Watch what he says. Between your offspring, Satan, and hers. Her offspring. Not her husband's offspring. But God prophesies and says there's going to be the woman. And I tell you this, I believe this every fiber of my being. If he was talking about Eve, he would have said, and God said, Satan, I'm going to put enmity between you and Eve's children. Because he knew her name. He knows everybody's name. He could have given us the name right then if he chose to do so. But if he did, every Hebrew couple on earth would have named every little girl Mary. There wouldn't even be anybody else. You'd say Mary and a billion people would go, huh? He kept that a mystery. God likes sometimes to keep things a mystery until it's time for them to be revealed. And then he goes, ta-da! Look at this manger. He said, I'll put hatred, enmity, war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. Between, the King James said, between your seed and her seed. Women don't have seed. And I also recognize genealogy, and they don't account seed through the mother. They account seed through the father, but for some reason, God deviated from that. Could it be that a woman could bear a child without a man being involved in it? Is that even biologically possible? Not biologically possible, but it's possible. It would take God doing a miracle for a woman to have a baby without the help of a husband, wouldn't it? Without the help of a male. And God prophesied about this. That baby, that seed, will be a he. That's called specific. There's a 50-50 chance you'll get it right because there are only two genders. But he and her. God said he. He will crush your head. He's talking to the devil. Talking to the serpent who manifested to deceive him. He said he, the offspring of the woman, will crush your head. You will bruise his heel. How many of you know that Jesus suffered in order to crush the head of Satan? But that crushing of the head, it implies, here's what it's talking about. It's talking about authority. When the enemy came in there and deceived Adam and Eve, he stole from them authority, literally dominion that God had given them. They had dominion over everything on the earth. Everything. God prophesied himself and promised that there was coming a time when the seed of a woman would rise up and crush the head of Satan, which means take back that authority. How many of you know Jesus did that? He took back that authority. God was reaffirming his promise when he spoke to Isaiah. He got more specific about it. Behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Here he said, seed of a woman. In my theological opinion, same thing. Amen. Now, I want you to say out loud something if you believe it. That God promised and God delivered. Did God promise that a son of a virgin would be risen up and it would crush the head of the Satan? God promised. Say it out loud. God promised and God delivered. Amen. That's what we're going to focus on today. God promises and God delivers.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at The Truth Broadcast. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Now, continue reading there in Matthew 2nd chapter 1st verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi, wise men, astrologers, there are all kinds of names they put on these guys. But magi from the east, I like wise men, they came to Jerusalem. Now it says from the east. It doesn't say exactly where. A lot of people speculate as to where, but I know this. I know that a land that was once known as Persia certainly lies to the east of Israel. And I know from history that there was a young Hebrew man who was carried off into that region and taken captive by Babylonians. and later served Persian king named Cyrus, and that young man's name was Daniel. Daniel probably most famous for lion's den, I don't know. But the thing that got Daniel in the lion's den was his intimacy with the Lord, and God protected him. But Daniel had the ability to interpret dreams and the ability to prophesy and speak forth on God's behalf. I personally have come to believe this, that these wise men that were from the east, why would a Persian, because they saw a star, and why would they come to worship the king of the Jews? Well, when Daniel and three other Hebrew children named Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, you probably know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were there in captivity, they served the king in his palace, and they were his wise men. They were the wisest of the wise. How many of you know I'm telling you the truth? See, I believe this. I believe that while Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, I like to call them by the Hebrew names, were there, that they trained others. And not just Hebrew captives, but I believe that the Persians were trained by them too. And here we are all these years later, hundreds and hundreds of years later, and there are wise men or magi who've been trained from the wisdom that Daniel and the other Hebrews shared when they were captive there. Do you think Daniel knew anything about God's promise of a Messiah? Come on, if you haven't, you need to go read the book of Daniel. Daniel prophesied a lot of things, some that have not yet come to pass, but are going to. And I guarantee you that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they shared those prophecies, those Hebrew prophecies. So here, all these years later, here come these wise men, and they're looking for this king who was prophesied. His star will appear. His morning star will appear. They knew enough to know this is something special. And they followed that star. And listen to me, this no walk across the park. And this ain't three dudes on camels. This is an entourage, huge entourage. These men are not only wise men like they're the servant of someone who's rich and famous and kingly. These guys are. They are royalty. And when they travel, they don't travel light. They travel with their maid and their chef and their butler and their this and their that. When they camp for the night, it's a big camp. And what's traveling along with them too, how many of you know they brought stuff? They brought some stuff. They brought treasure chests. Treasure chests. Maybe you've been to a Christmas program and they had the wise men come to the manger. That, first of all, that's a little off. It's okay, but they didn't actually come to the manger. They came to the house where Jesus, the child, not baby, the child was later. But when they came, in a lot of Christmas programs, here they come with their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. And they're holding it. You know, they go, I can hold it in one hand. No, you got the wrong idea. When these guys come, they didn't personally bring it up there. How many of you know when a king wants a ditch dug? This is about authority. When a king wants a ditch dug, does he grab a shovel? No, he tells people to grab a shovel. I guarantee you when they wanted to bring their gifts before the king, yes, they worshipped him. I could see them bowing as their servants, one after another, began to bring those it took multiple guys to carry that treasure chest. I believe that because I know what God's doing here. God's doing something that he promised to do. He promised, first of all, that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Out of all the places. I mean, Jerusalem's the capital. Even Donald Trump knows that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and the wise men came from the east, and they said, where is the one who's been born king of Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Christ to be born? Verse 5, watch this. In Bethlehem. There was no debate about it, was there? He said, where's the Messiah? Where's the Christ going to be born? He said, in Bethlehem. How do you know? In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for it is this is what the prophet has written. And he's going to quote from Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler, and he will be shepherd of my people Israel. I want to show you something else that Matthew chose not to show us in this text. Micah 5:2. You, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Now here's the part I want. Whose origins are from when? How about whose origins are from before? Before what? Before. From ancient times. Is Genesis ancient? How ancient is it before Genesis? Is there something before Genesis? We don't have any clue how much, but I can guarantee you this, there's a lot of time. Look at the King James Version. Look at the very last part. Instead of saying ancient times, it uses a different word, and I love this word. It's why we had to look at it. Whose goings forth have been from old, from, what does God say? From everlasting. I want you to say out loud, it takes an everlasting God to give me everlasting life. It takes an everlasting God to give us everlasting life. Jesus did not come into existence in Bethlehem. He appeared in Bethlehem in the form of a human being. He existed before. Turn over to John chapter 1. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He, same He that will bruise the head of the serpent. He. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Look at verse 10. He was in the world. And though the world was made by Him and through Him, the world didn't recognize Him. But today we do, don't we? Verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Look at John chapter 17. John 17, verse 5. Look at this. Jesus was praying, and at the end of His prayer, He said these words. He said, "And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began." He is the eternal God. He is I am that I am. Amen. Flip over toward the back of your Bible real quickly. 1 Peter 1:20. He was chosen before the creation of the world. When was Jesus chosen? Is Jesus God's plan B because man messed it all up? Jesus was God's plan. Before there was a man or a woman or a garden or a snake or a this or that or anything else, Jesus was right there with the Father. He literally is God. He, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all one. Shall not understand that. Of course you do. You've seen an egg. You get it out there. You look at the outside. You see in one part. You open it up. You see a white part, a yellow part. Is it three eggs? No, it's one egg. It's got three parts. Not a big deal. Don't make it be. He has different attributes, but the same glory. And Jesus was God and is God and will always be God. And He was with God before there was anything. He was chosen to be your Savior. Yours, personally, long before you were ever conceived in the twinkle of your daddy's eye or the patter of your mama's heart. You were on God's radar. See, you're not a product of biology. My Bible says that before God formed you, to Jeremiah, in the womb of your mother, He knew you. In the book of Psalms, it says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're knit together by God's own hands. But before He started knitting, He saw the whole thing from beginning to end and chose on purpose to come and be one of us, to redeem us when we weren't even here yet, not even Adam. Jesus is not God's plan B. Christmas is not an afterthought to God. It was His foreordained plan before the beginning of time. Amen. Say, Jesus is my everlasting Savior. Jesus is my everlasting Savior. He always was. He always is. He always will be. Not going to change. Amen. I take comfort in that. Christmas is a demonstration of God's love. And I just want to quickly close with this. 2 Corinthians 1:18 and 20. Verse 18, watch this. Paul's writing. He says, "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no." Not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it's always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they're yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by whom? By us, to the glory of God. You know what amen means? It doesn't mean, yay, I get to eat. It means let it be done as it was spoken. Amen. In other words, take the promise of what God promised and you begin to believe it and say amen to it. And if you confess it with your mouth and believe it with your heart, the Bible says over and over, not just Mark 11, 23 through 24, it says if you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, you'll have it. I want to remind you today that every time you see anything that reminds you of Christmas in any way, I want you to stop and say, you know what? God is faithful. God promised and God delivered. Jesus is proof of that. Christmas is proof that God is faithful, and when he promises something, he delivers it. Come on, amen. There wouldn't be no gifts and this and that, all these traditions we have. There wouldn't be any of it if it weren't for God's promise and his ability to deliver on it. God is faithful. And everywhere we look, I see that little tree. Oh, man, God is, it's so beautiful. God is faithful. Oh, I see that little angel. Oh, I'm reminded of the angels that announced the birth of Jesus. God is so faithful. I want you to take that attitude. Don't let the commercialism of Christmas make you turn it off. Embrace the spirit of Christmas. God's promises are always yes. And no matter how many promises God has made, what's the answer? Because of Jesus. Because of God's faithfulness. Yes, yes, and yes. Now I'm going to give you a little homework assignment, and you can read it on your own. But if you look back in Matthew chapter 2 again, the wise men, when they came, what did they bring to Jesus? They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very, very valuable treasures. And they worshipped him with that. All of a sudden, Joseph, a lowly carpenter, became a very, very, very wealthy man. Very wealthy. But he didn't buy him a condo in Bethlehem, build the biggest tower into Bethlehem. Because shortly thereafter, what happened? He fell asleep again. Men do that sometimes, especially on Sunday afternoon. And God gave him a dream and said this. Joseph, he said, listen, take the baby and your wife and leave and flee to Egypt because there are those who desire to end the child's life. I mean, no, Satan, always got a plan for destruction. But God's always way ahead of Satan. And Joseph was warned in a dream to take Jesus to Egypt. You want to know why? How many of you already know why? Because God's prophet had said, out of Egypt I will call my son. You see, God promised that his son, who would be born of a virgin, who would be born in Bethlehem, would also live in Egypt and then come back to the land of Israel. That's called specific details, people. If God promises it, if God prophesies it, he can deliver it. I don't care how crazy it seems. So you and I need to be inspired to do this. Well, I'm taking God at his word. I don't want anything God hasn't promised. I don't want nothing God hasn't promised. But I want everything that he has promised. That's the faith that pleases God. How many of you're buying kids, your grandkids, nieces, and nephews gift for Christmas? How many of the gifts that you pay for and buy for them do you want them to have? One of them or all of them? I want them to have them all. Because I was thinking of them when I bought them. And when I purchased it for them, I was thinking of the joy and enjoyment they were going to have with it. And it brought a smile to my face. Amen. God wants you to have his promises. Get that, can I be nice? Get that through your thick head. Pastor, get that through your thick head. God wants you to have everything he promised. He's not trying to withhold it. Everything about this story, everything we've studied in the Word is proof that what God promises, God will deliver. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.